RU. It stands for Reformers Unanimous. It is a Christ-based addictions and strongholds recovery program, and it's Bible-centered and Bible-rich, and that sets it apart from a lot of the programs. You see, the strength of this program is not in the program with the capital P, the program. The strength of this program is in God and the Word of God. We saw this morning, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not in church membership, that's important. Not in baptism, that's important. But in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The RU program, when you come on Friday night to the RU program, what happens? Well, there's three parts to it. There's the first talk, the second talk, the third talk. In the first talk, there are testimonies. And people there who are struggling get to hear how God has helped people who struggled. And prayers answered, and get to see that God is alive and at work. Amen. Also in the first talk, there is watching a video about one of the 10 principles. They're important principles that are Bible-based, and same 10 principles, one principle a week. So every 10 weeks, you see the principles again, but that's okay. And the principles help the people make decisions from week to week to week that they face in their life according to God's word. You know, God said in Deuteronomy, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you do whatsoever I command you, and a curse if you do not the things which I command you. So the 10 principles keep us on track so that we can obey God's commands and get his blessings and his favor and his help, you see. And then there are other things in the first talk, but then the second talk is very, very, very important. Men go to a group or groups. Ladies go to a group or groups. And this talk is very different from a lot of the other programs and multi-numeral step programs. You just don't go around the room and tell people your problems or your addictions or your sin. But you start off by, does anybody have any challenges to pass? You see, I'll call it a workbook. It's not, but it is. The students go home, and they have a workbook, and they're looking up things in the Bible, and that's checked to see if they got that done. There are other projects, too, like going to church X number of times and so forth, and they get awards for doing that. You say, now, these are people with addictions. They do not want awards. This sounds kind of kiddish, like your WANA program. Well, if somehow they forget to get their awards to them in the third talk, they hear about it. These people have worked hard, and some of them, for the first time in many years, have succeeded at something. And it means a lot to them to get those awards and to be making progress and getting victory in their lives. So they pass challenges. They also fill out what I call their score sheet so that they can get the points that they've earned and so forth. And that all goes into the computer. Ms. Householder knows more about that than I do. And then they also go around the room. Do you have any blessings this week? Do you have any challenges in your life this week? And I was in a second talk, and a man said, well, I'll tell you, I'm having a problem with this love thing. I've been studying the fruit of the Spirit. They study the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, very first manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. And he said, I'm having a little problem with this love thing because I have to go to court this week, and I've got a lot of issues with the person that's suing me. And so they asked, well, is anybody faced a problem with loving their enemies? And the fellow said, yeah, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And he said, you're not going to have that. God will give that to you if you ask him to. And so they're helping each other from the Word of God and from the 10 principles and so forth. They aren't just making up their own thing. If they get off track, the group leader helps get them back on track. I was in one time. I don't know how it got there. But after a few minutes, they were talking about when you can shoot somebody in your yard or home and they won't put you in jail for it. I don't know how they got there with the conversation, But the group leader listened for a few minutes and then got it back on track, you see. But one funny thing, this guy said, well, I'll tell you one thing here in West Virginia, don't shoot them if they turn their back and they're running, because you shoot them in their back and you're in trouble. And that's when the group leader stepped in and said, now we need to get back to so-and-so's point here, you see. So sometimes they come up with interesting things, but the group leader is directing this. And it's a real time of people who might have only gotten victory in an area a week or two or three before helping others. Now, that's what God wants us to do. The world tells us, well, you're going to have to go through this program and this program, and you're going to have to get certified, and you're going to have to take tests, and you're going to have to get licensed. When we're Christians, we can take the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2:2, and teach others who will teach faithful men who shall teach others also. And that gives them a sense, I want to come back. God, let me help somebody. I want to come back. Then you go to and they also have a rule. What is said in Second Talk stays in Second Talk. And that really is abided by, because they're smart enough to know if I go out here and blab everything somebody said, then somebody's going to blab on me. And so they really handle that very well. And then the third talk, the final talk, they get awards. And that's a blessing. And then the director will speak to them, usually going through one of the books that they're working through and teaching it, preaching/teaching it, however he wants to do and feels led to do. And that's it in a nutshell. There can be more. Oftentimes it's followed by a fourth talk, and that's when they fellowship with each other and have refreshments and the taquitos or pizza or whatever's on the menu for the night. And that's the RU program in a nutshell. On the 13th of April, come to the very first RU program at Ocean County Baptist Church and just sit in on it and see, so you know what's going on in your church. And you can say, oh, I know Harry over at work. I think I'm going to try to get him here. This could help him. And you'll know what's going on and see it being effective and see it working in people's lives. Tonight we're going to show you two DVDs, and Mrs. Householder is going to give her testimony. But one is called Recovery Discovery, or is it Discovery Recovery? Discovery Recovery, I'm sorry. And this will tell you about how the RU program got started and its effectiveness and so forth. And then she'll give her testimony, and then we'll have another DVD. And then I promise you, I have a sermonette, very short, to wrap it all up, but we're praying God does great things. Amen? Gives you a bird's eye view of how RU got started and how the Lord's blessed. Miss Householder, if you'd make your way up here. Mrs. Householder and her husband, Bobby Householder, were RU missionaries. And in fall of 2016, he went to be with the Lord. And she made some decisions not to let their ministry die with him, but to carry on the ministry and even expand it. She has hope for the hurting ministry, speaks to ladies' groups, does soul winning, trains ladies to be soul winners. But she is an RU missionary. Now, they don't pay her. She's like any other of your missionaries back there, Pastor. She raises support and so forth. But I asked her if she'd give her testimony tonight, and I started to give it for you. But go ahead, Mrs. Householder.
Thank you, and thank you, Pastor and Mrs. Weigel, for allowing me to be here. I do consider that quite an honor. I'm very thankful to be here. I do have my prayer cards on the table, and if you would pick one up and pray for me, please. And if you have children, I have one with the lady wearing the blue. That's for the kids. It's closer and easier for them to get to. And I know as a child, I would have loved to have missionary cards, and I was told no. I want to be able to share that. You know, you talked this morning about the need. You do have a need in this area. And in your county is considered the highest number of deaths in the year 2016 of all of New Jersey that were drug-related. So your need is on your back doorstep. I don't know that there's a place in America that doesn't have a need. But it is rapidly multiplying. That need is growing. And we're not really addressing the need like we need to. Now, they said on the video, we have more than 700 chapters, and now we have a lot more than that. We have a lot overseas as well. So the Lord has really blessed that. But if there's a bar on one corner, there needs to be an RU on the corner next to it.
Amen.
My name is Wendy Jo Householder, and I am out of Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. And you may be familiar with my pastor, Pastor Bobby Robertson, who passed away last month. And I noticed you all have the sword, and there's an article in there about him. He was a blessing to us. So pray for our church. We're in transition right now. But we had the regional RU conference at our church in 2013, and they asked us to be representatives at that point. So the Lord has blessed, and Dr. Miller sort of filled in the gaps for us there. I want to tell you why I love RU. I was born into a family with a pastor. My father was a pastor, a Baptist pastor, and we were very, very conservative. We followed all the rules. And we looked like the perfect family. There were six of us kids, and we all stood on the platform and would sing songs and would quote scripture. And everyone said, they're just such a perfect family. And I didn't think about it, but I imagine we thought we were the perfect family. And I know later on, my older sisters were teenagers and said, never even heard them argue, ever. Never heard them disagree. They were very strict. If you were a child, you were to be seen and not heard. So when I was six, my dad walked out the door with a woman. And our perfect walked out the door with that. So at that point, now my mother has to work two jobs and go to night school, and dad's not working. So he's our babysitter. And he did not handle his choices very well, so he was doing a lot of partying. So at six, I was introduced to smoking cigarettes, smoking pot, and drinking. And my older brother and I would, and stepbrother eventually, would clean up their parties. Once they were passed out, we would finish off their liquor, and we would take all their cigarettes. And if they left their pot laying around, that was gone, and their money. And when they woke up, they didn't know what hit them. But that was just recreational. From when I was six until I was about 14. And when I was 14, I had a devastating life incident in our family, and I didn't handle it well. The one person that really, really mattered to me, something terrible happened to her. And that broke my heart, and I didn't handle it godly. Of course, I wasn't saved, but I thought I was. And so my recreational smoking pot went to a coping mechanism. So I was partying as often as I wanted to not feel what I was feeling anymore. And quite often that's how it works. You know, once upon a time you would say you would smoke pot to have fun and feel good. And really it's all about just not feeling is why there's such a variety. Whenever I was 16, late 15 or early 16, I got really sick. And my mom took me to the doctor, and the doctor said she has really bad strep throat, and I'll take care of her if you'll go talk to my wife about paying the bill. And when my mom left the room, he said, so what are you taking? And I said, nothing. All I do is smoke pot. Now, I had this conversation with my mother. She smoked cigarettes, and I would say, Mom, it's an herb, and, you know, it's from God. It grows. Now, they've already proven that cigarettes are going to kill you. Mine, on the other hand, is kind of a happy thing, Mom. She fell for this. I'm not sure how. I always won that conversation. It didn't work with the doctor so well. He didn't believe that. But anyway, after I gave him my spill, he said, no, what you are taking is PCP. He says, you are having a hard time seeing, aren't you? I was like, yeah, how did you know that? And it was just like a black spot that got bigger, and I was trying to see around it all the time. Have you ever seen someone do that? And you figure they're high. You're right. So anyway, he said, you need to stop this or you're going to lose your eyesight. At the time, I was learning how to play the flute, trying to learn how to play the piano, still trying. And I enjoyed reading, and I was devastated. I thought, well, I've got to memorize all my flute music real quick, because this is happening quickly. Well, I tried with all my heart. I thought, I have character, and I have strength, and I can do this, and, you know, I'm a strong person. So I tried, you know, pull up your bootstraps. And I failed. I couldn't do it. And I finally just gave up. You know, every time something happened that stressed me out, then I was back to my coping mechanism. So I realized it beat me, and I really didn't know what to do about it. Really didn't talk to anyone about it. The doctor's the only one who had ever spoken to me about it. And I was a good girl. I told my mom, you know, no, I don't do drugs, just the herb. That's all I do. So I was kind of self-righteous about that. And well, one day, while I was struggling, my mom called me, and she says, Wendy Jo, we're having youth conclave at our church. And I want you to come home, and I want you to go to youth conclave. And it's like this week, Monday through whatever. I was like, oh, Mom, those are the same kids I go to school with. They don't even like my shoes. This isn't going to go. This isn't going to work. And she said, if you will just go one night, then I won't bug you the rest of the week. I said, well, okay. So I went the first night. And as it turned out, the pastor had his sons helping out from college. They weren't bad looking. So I felt, you know, impressed to be very obedient to my mother all of a sudden. So I went all week. And they were wonderful, and they preached all week long about getting saved. Well, I had been told I was saved when I was 5, and I don't know because I don't remember anything before I was 6. So that was my excuse. I just don't remember because I don't remember anything before I was 6. And so all week long, I was under conviction. I didn't realize that I was under conviction, but I was, and I was miserable. And I kept praying, Lord, if I'm not saved, please save me. Every day. Lord, if I'm not saved, please save me. And the next day, I still have no peace. Lord, if I'm not saved, please save me. Well, that didn't work. And at the end of the week, the boys were going back to college. Youth conclave was over. Not sure why I didn't realize there would be church still. I just thought my opportunities are gone. So I went home the last night of youth conclave. I got out my little black box, and I smoked everything in it and didn't really have enough and just sat there. Okay, that didn't work. And I still felt really miserable. Well, I looked over at the mirror at the end of my bed, and I saw me, but I looked really scary. And as soon as I saw that image, I knew I'm going to go to hell. I'm not saved. And this is exactly what I said. Lord, I'm not saved. Please save me. And I laid down and went to sleep. And I didn't really realize what the Lord had done for me. 2 weeks later, my oldest sister and I were on a walk. And on our way to town, she lights up a joint and handed it to me. And I said, no, I'm good. And on the way home, she lit up a joint and handed it to me. And I said, no, I'm good. And she just stopped dead in her tracks. And she said, Wendy Jo, how long has it been since you've been high? And I thought about it for a minute. And I was just overjoyed. I thought, oh, my goodness. Not only did the Lord save me, but he took this addiction completely away from me, this addiction that I had tried so hard. That is not the typical story, but I really feel like it's terribly important for us to get people into God's house, and this is why. You don't know. You don't know what the person in the pew next to you is going through. You don't know what they're struggling with. You don't know if they have an addiction. We have people sitting in our pews who have addictions, and they're not telling anyone because it's not something they want to talk about. So we don't know what people are struggling with. And the only way they're going to get rescued is God's word. Amen. And they don't typically pick up God's word at home all by themselves, not usually. We need to get them in God's house and get them under good preaching and get them in discipleship.
Amen.
Well, this is what my pastor's wife did for me. There were a couple other people in my family who got saved that same summer. And for some reason, they didn't really latch on to the pastor's wife the way I did. And they didn't really grow. So it's really important that we get people discipled. My pastor's wife would take me to church, to clean the nursery, to go out on visitation, to make shut-in calls every day. Now, this was the summertime, and every day for the next week or two, she kept me busy. I never went back to where I was when my mom called me that day. I never even went back for my things. I just stayed at home because the next day I was going somewhere with the preacher's wife. And she kept me busy. And she would talk to me about, what are your struggles? This is exactly what we do in Second Talk. And when I would tell her, she would say, well, what about that verse we were going over?
Amen.
And I would go, well, what about the verse? And she would explain the verse to me again and remind me how that would have helped me had I meditated on that verse when I needed it. So she was my RU. This is what we do in RU. And it's discipleship. That's all it is giving people scripture to work on. And we teach them to read it, to study it, to memorize it, to meditate on it. And meditation is where it works. So I'm just really thankful for Mrs. Kerr and the difference that she made in my life and the fact that the Lord not only saved me, but saved me from addiction. It was a very short trip. It doesn't take long to get addicted to PCP. And I'm just really grateful that the Lord protected me the way he did. do please pray for me. I have these out there on the table. Please pick one up. I'm at about 35% of my support. And just pray that the Lord would have his power on my life and on this ministry, and that he would, excuse me, get me in to churches and areas that I need to be in. You can land anywhere, and there's someone who is hurting. And that's what this ministry is. It's hope for the hurting. But I need to be exactly where he wants me to be. So pray that the Lord's leadership is there. Thank you very much.
Amen. As she goes about the country and speaks to ladies and ministers and works with our youth, how many of you will take a prayer card and pray for her ministry? Do that? Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Thank you. That's encouraging. In just a minute, the men are going to show you a DVD that Pastor showed you a couple weeks ago. But now that you've heard more about the program this morning and tonight, just open your heart and let God really work in your heart line. I mentioned this morning that the RU, Reformers Unanimous, Addiction and Strongholds Recovery Ministry, if a person will stay in it for 1 to 2 years and work the program, there's an over 80% success rate. None of the government programs, secular programs, university programs come anywhere near that. And you say, does it really work? Well, men, if you'll play this video, Cardboard Testimonies, and you be the judge whether it works.
In your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Some of my favorite testimonies on those cardboard testimonies. I shared with you some testimonies of people who I've had the privilege of meeting who are working in RU programs in other places who several years ago were incarcerated for drug-related programs, and now they're directors and assistant directors of RU programs, living victoriously and helping others. But on these, some of my favorite, I like the one where the fellow was the number one cocaine dealer in the city. And he got saved, and now he's helping people find Christ and be liberated from cocaine and other drugs. And then the folks who were living broken, shattered lives. And then he held that up, senior pastor, and she held hers up, pastor's wife. Amen? God has a program. God has a program. It starts, though, with salvation. It's not a set of rules and regulations. Our verse for the day has been 1 Timothy 1:15, or 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, I keep stopping there, in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we see God's program starts with salvation. That if, Romans 10, 9, if you do this, you're going to heaven. If you don't, you're going to hell. But while on earth, until you get there, you're going to still be a slave to your sin and to your sinful nature. That if thou, this is something that you have to do. Your praying grandmother can't do it for you. It's between you and God. Shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. You ask Jesus to be your Lord, to be your Savior. Now, anybody can say that, but God's going to judge your heart. And shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. You see, Jesus not only died for our sins, he who knew no sin became sin for us, the Bible says. He not only died for our sins, but God raised him from the dead. He has victory over death and the grave. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not might be, not may be, but shall be. For, how's that possible? Well, verse 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, the Bible says even of Abraham in the Old Testament, he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Not all his good works,
but is faith in God. And the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's summed up in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's program. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Whosoever. What a great program. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from their sins. Saved from the power of their sin. You heard what Mrs. Householder said. And saved from the penalty of sin, hell. Saved from the habits of an old life that are formed by day, by day, by day of living the life according to the sinful nature that we were all born with. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, saved to go to heaven. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, I like gifts, don't you? I'm not a kid anymore. I'm 67. I still like gifts. The gift of God, not the gift of the church, the gift of God is eternal life. Now, no matter what gift you got 5 years ago, it probably needs replaced by now. But the gift of God is eternal life through, here's the key, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. That last cardboard testimony said, are you washed? Are you washed? Have your sins been washed away? Do you have God's gift of eternal life? Now, that's such a wonderful program, you would think that we could end there. That's God's program, but look at God's problem. How then, verse 14, shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? There's the problem. Jesus died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the world, but not everybody knows that. And it's not their fault. Because Jesus said, go ye. Ye is you plural. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I ask you this morning, those of you who are members of this church, what regular ministry do you have to reach out to the lost, even in this area, let alone on the other side of the world? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, the Bible says. Now, the other day, I went out to a seafood place. And I bought some seafood for my wife, and I bought an award-winning crab cake. Maryland crab. We live just a few miles from Maryland there in Delaware. An award-winning crab cake. I took a preacher there one time, Pastor Weigel, to this place. He liked it so well. I said, now tonight you're on your own. I'm going to feed you today, but tonight you're on your own. He said, okay. And the next day, and then he left town, and the next day I went there with another preacher, and they said, hey, that guy came back last night, bought a whole bag full of crab cakes. Was going to take them home to his wife, put them in the freezer. These were good crab cakes, you see. Now, here's the problem. How'd you like them? See? Notice who he put the blame on? You never took me there. That's the problem with God's program. He thought you and I would be so thankful, so grateful that when he commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, we'd take them there to Jesus. You have enough Sunday school teachers, bus workers, van drivers, RU workers. Here's a program that works. Now we need to work the program. The Bible says, and how shall they hear without a preacher, a proclaimer? It's your job and my job to roll up our sleeves and get busy for God. So that's my pastor's job. That's Brother D's job. That's Brother Nick's job. No, God gave us pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints for the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Their job is to train the saints. Are you available to be trained? On the 13th of April, we're going to have our first RU program. We're actually going to put one on for you. But you can bring people anyway who need this. But we want every church member to come and see what it's like the first night. The next day, we want every church member to come 3 hours on Saturday morning, three or a little less on Saturday afternoon with a light lunch in between, for the training. For the training. You might find something you can do. Do you know how to run a computer? There has to be a secretary. She's very, very, very important. Because when people are there, she puts it in, and when they're not there, she lets the group leaders know who to visit, who to send cards to, the director to know who to go visit, and so forth. Who's got enough points to get this award or that award? She's very important. The group leaders. Well, I don't know if I could be a group leader. You could be an assistant group leader. And while you are going through the program and being discipled, you're being trained to become a leader. Now, you may come and say, I've honestly prayed about it. God does not want me in this program at this time. But now you know the program that your church has. And you'll know when to bring someone. The very first RU that Mrs. Householder went to, she did it because she was taking her nephew there. And after a couple weeks, she realized that she had some issues and attitude that God needed to deal with in her life. But she went to take her nephew there, you see. And you might find there's issues in your life, maybe not. You might just help somebody get deliverance. In 2016, I was in a program, not an RU program. I was in an outreach program called Royal Soul Winning Outreach at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Winchester, Virginia. Every morning, every afternoon, every night, we went out doing this. The people of the church would take a day off of work. Some of them took their vacation week. Some of them were retired. Some of us evangelists were there helping that church try to reach their community for Christ. And God really blessed. We saw many, many, many people saved. They started a bus route off of it. Your young man from your church who graduated from our college, Atlantic Coast Baptist College, Brother Josh Fankart, took a whole bunch of prospects from one area and they started a bus route that Sunday. He wasn't even there to see it. He'd gone home. And we had a bus route for their church that Sunday, plus a lot of other people to be reached and so forth. But my point is this. In this program, this Royal Soul Winning Outreach, on Friday night, they have an RU program there. And they came and they said, Brother Miller, would you not go out soul winning tonight? Would you stay and speak during the third talk of the RU program? And I said, sure. Well, I was looking forward to that. And a man came up to me and he said, Brother Miller, I heard you're preaching in the third talk. I said, yeah. He said, oh, Brother Miller, we've been praying for this third talk. I said, well, I just found out I was preaching. They said, but my nephew and his girlfriend, who we have been praying for 2.5 years, have promised to come tonight. And they need saved. Their life's a mess. They're on drugs. They keep losing their jobs. They do a good job getting jobs, but they do a good job of losing jobs. And they need saved. Now, there was not much pressure on me then. They've been praying for 2.5 years, but they've been praying for 2.5 years. You see, these people knew the program because they'd gone to the training, like we're asking you to do on April 14th. And so the man and his wife got the nephew and his girlfriend, living girlfriend, and his mom and dad to come. And that night, the nephew and the girlfriend came forward and they showed them how the Word of God, how to bow their hearts and bow their heads and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. A couple weeks later, I was at the National Sword of Lord Conference, and Mrs. Householder's husband, Bobby, came up to me, and he said, Brother Miller, I was Friday night, I was in Winchester at the RU. It didn't click. I said, yeah. He said, they're still there. And I said, yeah, they got an RU program. It's still there, I hope. He said, no, those two people got saved. They're still coming. Where'd they come from? A man and his wife who cared about his nephew and his nephew's girlfriend. And the man and his wife knew about the program because they went through the training. And so I ask you to pray every day between now and April 13th, I believe it is, that Friday night closest to that, I guess it's the 13th, and pray for the first RU program here at Ocean County Baptist Church. And then pray for the training the next day, because after Mrs. Householder, and she's a good trainer, and I leave, you're going to be doing it all by yourself. Or you're going to shut her down. Why would we shut it down? Well, in Ezekiel 22, God said, I sought for a man from among them who would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, saith the Lord. And he said, I sought for a man who would make up the hedge and stand in the gap that I should not destroy the land. But he went ahead and destroyed the land. Why? He said, because I found none. They were too busy to get involved, too busy to take that Sunday school class, too busy to take that bus ride, too busy to help in the ladies' ministries, in the men's ministries, and too busy to get involved in RU program. We shake our heads, there's a need, amen, we need it here. Well, what are you going to do about it? In Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33, God said that if we don't warn the wicked to turn from their wicked ways and they die in their iniquity, he said, their blood will I require at thy hand. That's serious. God holds us responsible to reach others with the same soul-saving gospel that somebody reached us with. What are you going to do? Let's pray. God said, I sought for a man from among them. In Isaiah 6:8, God said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I like Isaiah's attitude. He said, here am I, Lord, send me. I ask it this morning, but how many of you would say, I will, God helping me, God reminding me, I suggest you put it down somewhere, pray every day between now and April 13th for our very first RU program. I'll pray that God will use it in a great way to get a great start in rescuing the perishing and caring for the dying. I'll do that. I'll join that unofficial prayer band. If you did that this morning or you'll do that tonight, would you raise your hand? Now, I'm encouraged. You can put your hands down because God says, ask and it shall be given unto you. And 95%, Pastor, of the congregation said, we'll pray. Second thing, how many of you will make every effort to come Friday night and Saturday to the training time? You've got 4.5, 5 weeks to work out your schedule. And you'll make every effort to come and sit through it and see what it's all about. How many of you will do that? Would you raise your hand? Wow. Now, Pastor, you can put your hands down. The Sunday and Wednesday night before, you'll need to get a count because I'll send you a letter on all this, but you'll have a continental breakfast and a light lunch that day, and you can't have a lunch for 15 people if 65 people are going to show up. That's wonderful. How many of you would say, I believe God wants me to either work in this program or some ministry of the church? I need to get busier and I need to get busier. And God helping me, I'll say, here am I, Lord, use me. Like Isaiah, here am I, Lord, use me. Would you raise your hand? There's one. Keep them up. This is tremendous. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. I'm going to pray for all of you. You can put your hands down. Because your spirit's willing. Now the devil's going to work on your flesh and try to make you weak and drop out of this thing. God be with these 27 folks. Maybe you want some of them in the bus ministry. Maybe you want some of them out knocking on doors. Maybe you want some of them. Their heart is that they want to learn this program and be a part of this program and help solve this great problem of addictions and strongholds, but more than that, getting people to heaven and discipled to live victorious Christian lives. God, don't let the devil get any of them now that they put their hand to the plow. God, even raise up more, we pray. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you would say, Brother Miller, you're talking about being saved, being born again, being washed, being a child of God. I don't even know if I died that I'd go to heaven. I won't argue with you. I know what the Bible says. For all sinned, I am a sinner. I've disobeyed God. And I know sinners can't get to heaven. And I know Jesus died for my sins. And I know in my head What the Bible says is true. He was raised from the dead to save me, but I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. You say, well, Brother Miller, can you know that? In 1 John 5:17, 5:13, God says this. These things have I written unto you, these verses I've been quoting tonight. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that's Jesus, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Folks, it's like buying a car or a house and they give you the title to it. He wrote it for us. Have you trusted Christ your Savior? As many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. If you don't know, won't you receive Him tonight? Won't you open up your heart and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior tonight? You can do that right where you are. You can say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please come into my heart and save my soul. Thank you for dying for me. What's that? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for me. Please come into my heart and save my soul. I trust you to save me tonight. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant that, now notice, a lot of people raised their hands for a lot of things. We did not embarrass one of them. Heads bowed, eyes closed, so nobody's embarrassed. If you just prayed that prayer just now, you called on Jesus to save your soul, would you raise your hand? I just prayed that prayer, and I meant it. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Any others? That's wonderful. On the authority of God's word, not my good friend, Brother Mike Weigel, and I love you, Pastor, but not on his authority. Not on my authority. On the authority of God's word, you're going to heaven. Well, how can you say that? For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God keeps His promises. God keeps His promises. Now He wants you to grow as a Christian. Lord, thank you for these that prayed tonight. Maybe some of them have done this before and they're a little confused. Help them. Maybe some are doing it for the first time and understanding it tonight. God, I pray that at the invitation they'll come so somebody can take the Bible and help them walk out of these doors with Bible, God assurance, not Bruce Miller assurance or Ocean County Baptist Church assurance. Most of all, I thank you. I'm not going to ask you to make them new creatures. You said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now they're new creatures. They're babes in Christ. Help them to get in the Word of God that they may grow thereby. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Would you look here?